Let's see. We can.
You can get a chair.
There. Okay. That'll work. And everybody. Well, it's nice to have everybody fill in the benches here. And how are you doing this morning? Pretty good? That's good. Well, I was thinking I wanted to share a story, and I have a book along, and yet other things came to my mind as well that relate to the subject of what I want to share about this morning. When we have faith and we seek God, we pray, and God hears and God answers, it's not always in our time frame, it's not always exactly what we thought He might answer, but God wants to hear from us, doesn't He? He wants us to pray. So I thought of a verse, and I'm going to leave out a couple words and see if you all can help me. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What does it mean to be diligent? If I go to do something, and maybe I go to pick something up, and I start picking it up, and it feels heavy, and it's like, I don't think I want to pick that up, it's too heavy. I hardly tried before I gave up, right? But if I go and I go to pick something up and it feels heavy, and so I brace myself and I get in a good position and I get down and I give it another try and I manage to pick it up, I did what I needed to do to make it happen, right? I worked at it instead of giving up right away. And when we pray and we ask God for something and He doesn't answer right away in a way that we see, what do? We keep asking. If you want something at home and you're not sure if somebody heard you or you think they might have forgotten, after a while, what do? You ask again, right? Mom, may I have a cookie? Or Dad, can we go to whatever it happens to be that you want to go to? And you still don't have your cookie, or you still didn't get an answer whether or not you could go, you're going to check again, aren't you? Well, God wants to hear from us. And when we don't sense an answer right away, we still need to look to God. We still need to keep asking, because God wants to know just how much we trust Him, just how much we know that He can do that if He chooses to, when He chooses to. So we need to keep seeking God. Well, I thought about a couple things. How many of you at your homes have been praying for hostages in Haiti that connected with Christian Aid Ministries that have been, I think it's been 6 weeks or so that these people have been in, they were kidnapped, and they're still, most of them are still being held hostage. Something that I try to pray for every day. Might have missed a day somewhere along the line, but for the most part, I think about these people on a daily basis, and I think a lot of people are, and it's been so many weeks, but we don't want to give up. Two of them were released. There's still 15 to be released. And God is still able to do this. And sometimes you get to the point, if you're not careful, where you pray and you don't even expect anymore that anything's going to happen. You just, well, I guess I'll pray for the hostages again. And you pray for the hostages. But then when they're released, you're almost surprised because you hardly thought it was going to happen anymore because you've been waiting so long. Well, there's a story in the Bible that I think is pretty interesting. And it talks about Peter when he was in prison. And it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. What does that mean, without ceasing? Does that mean they prayed once in a while? Or does it mean they prayed all the time? They were praying for him. I think they were praying night and day. I think they were praying for Peter a lot. And here, when Peter was come to himself after an angel came to the prison and helped him out of prison. He said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Who were they praying for?
Jesus.
They would pray honoring Jesus, wouldn't they? But they were praying for Peter because Peter, last they knew, was still in prison. And what do we do when something like that's going on? We pray. And wouldn't you know, here Peter was, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken. She came to answer the door, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she was so glad she didn't even open up the door. She forgot. She went back and told the people how Peter stood before the gate. And they didn't even believe her. It says, "And they said unto her, Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." It's like something like Peter, but not really Peter. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. See, the Lord did it. It was the Lord. And it took a while, and they didn't give up, and they were praying. But by the time they got their answer, they were hardly expecting an answer anymore. And that's how we are sometimes as humans. And I want to read a story. And Caroline, you'll want to come back up here for this story. Caroline, I got a story here. Come on up. Yeah, y'all want to hear this story. This is a story, well, no, you can stay there. I just meant she needs to come up where she can see it. This is a story of Cappy, this chicken. And I actually have seen Cappy before. He was at a farm only so many miles from here, not very far away. And this book is written by Gloria Di Nicola, which is a lady that lives around here. I know a number of you have met her. And she loves the Lord. And when she has something going on in her life that is hard, she prays. And here, this is a true story. It says, "My purpose in writing this is to encourage parents to instruct their young children to become powerful believers." Here, Caroline, you can come sit right next to Daddy. Come up here, I'll show you. To become powerful believers that live in the truth and reality of Mark 16:16. Now let's look at that verse. I have to take a peek at that. See, we're going to read about this chicken. And first we're going to look up a verse. And it says, "He that believeth," make sure I have the right verse, yep, Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." How important it is to believe. Here is a little bantam rooster. He is the littlest chicken on my farm, and he is a sweet little boy. I want to tell you a story about him. I live on a farm in the country, and I have many animals, including goats, turkeys, rabbits, and chickens. My story starts here. This is a big tub, and we'll see it on the next page, called a stock tub. It is used for water for goats and other big farm animals to get a drink. It's actually way bigger than a bathtub, and it's usually kept filled pretty close to the top. Even though they have their own dish of water, sometimes chickens will stand on the edge of it to get a drink. See, here it is. Here's the tub that this chicken would stand on and get a drink in. Do you see it now? Okay. That must be what my little rooster did. However, when he leaned down to get a drink, he must have fallen in and couldn't get out. No one saw him fall in, and as much as he must have struggled, he couldn't get back out. See, there he is. He doesn't look like he's having a very good time in there, does he?
No.
Yeah. No. and his name is Cappy, says, it was in the winter and the water was really cold. That night it got very windy and stormy and the water in the tub froze, ice a few inches thick, and guess what? My little rooster was frozen right in the middle of that ice. How does that picture look?
I don't see.
Well, you will. Just everybody has to take their turn seeing.
No, that doesn't look fun.
It looks horrible, doesn't it?
I like windy. Yeah, I do.
When I came out in the morning...
Not in the tub. I splashing in the water in the rocks.
There he was, wings out to the sides and face down in the ice, very, very dead. I was so upset and quickly looked for a tool to try to chop him out of the thick, hard ice. There she is, trying to chop him out of the ice. It took me a long time, and when I finally got him out, I felt terrible. I really loved him. And as I held him, I talked to God about how upset I was. It seemed there was nothing that I could do. I remembered that the Bible says that God cares about the little things. And in Psalm 104, he talks a lot about his relationship with animals, so I knew he cared about my little rooster.
I would have warmed him up by the fire.
Yeah. Well, let's read on. Then Holy Spirit reminded me of Jesus talking with his friends. In Mark 16:14 to 20, he told them if they would only just believe, they would do even greater things than he had done. I remembered that he had gone about healing sick folks, casting out mean spirits from people, and even raising the dead. As I thought about this, I wondered just why I couldn't do the same thing with my little rooster. So I did what I remembered that Jesus did. As I held his little cold dead body in my hands, I commanded life to come back into him. And I totally believed with my whole heart that it would that it would. And guess what happened? Anybody guess?
Me.
What do you?
The rooster did come back to life.
That's a very good guess. But what the next page says is nothing. So at first here, nothing seemed to happen, right? Does that mean God didn't hear? No. But it means that here, this little rooster, you need to sit down. Here's this little rooster, still just as dead as he was before.
Still dead.
So I did it a few more times, and again, nothing happened. I was really disappointed and didn't know what to do or even think about it. So I tucked his little body inside my barn jacket and zipped it up. Boy, was it ever cold. I had decided that I would just keep him in there while I took care of the rest of my animals, thinking he might thaw out by then and maybe be alive again. When I finished my chores, I took him out, and sure enough, he was all warmed up and thawed out. I held him by his feet, and a lot of water ran out of his little beak and nose, but he was sure still dead. I continued to carry him around. I talked to God the whole time, telling him that I knew he could bring him back to life, and I had faith that he wanted to, so what was wrong? Why didn't it happen? Well, I just kept believing he would. Look at that.
I can't see.
Well, you will.
Wow, it's just like dipping a turkey in the ground.
Isn't that crazy?
I can't see.
I didn't see
crazy.
Crazy. A couple of hours later, I had to go to town for some hay, so I put his limp little body in a box and tucked it in the house and set it on the floor in my room, closing the door. I was heartbroken. See him in the box?
I can't see.
Yep, I can't see. I can see him.
I can see him.
Okay. When I returned home a couple of hours later, I realized that I would have to somehow bury him. I went upstairs to get the box. I was so sad. Well, there in the middle of the box, he stood. I was so shocked and surprised, I just began thanking God and praising him for loving my little rooster and for loving me so much that here he was alive again. I picked him up and took him outside, thinking I would put him in a cage for a couple of days till he got strong again. Well, the minute we got outside, he flew out of my hands and ran across the yard to be with the other chickens. Not only was he alive, but he was perfectly healed like it never even happened.
I can't see.
When my grandson Ryan got here, I told him, there's going to be another picture soon. Ryan got here, I told him the story of what had just happened. I said that we really need to give him a name. Without another thought, Ryan said, Captain. Now here's a picture that's just supposed to indicate like these birds like praising God or something like that, I think. Okay. So now you have heard about how faithful God is to answer our prayers if we what? Just believe. And don't quit believing no matter what it looks like. Sometimes God doesn't do things right away or when we ask because he wants to see if we will still keep believing and trusting him even when it looks like nothing is happening. So if you should find yourself in an impossible situation, remember to first of all talk to God about it. Ask him to tell you or show you what he says in the Bible about it. The Bible is our manual for life that tells us what to do in every situation. It is his love letter to us. He loves us so much that he put the answer to every situation and question we could ever come up with right here, right there in the Bible. Then keep believing in what he says and don't ever let anyone or anything in the world make you quit or believe otherwise. And here is a picture of a perfectly healthy Cappy or Captain. And I have seen him at his farm. And praise God. His name is Cappy. Okay, one more time. Take a look. If you don't see, you didn't look.
I can't see. I can see it.
All right. Now, we're not going back to our seats yet. What we're going to do is we're going to stand and we're going to ask the dads and moms and everybody to stand too, because we usually, in between the messages, we have a song, but we're going to have two or three songs and you're going to pick them, and they don't have to be from the book, and then we'll go back to our seats and everybody will have gotten a chance to stand up, okay? So let's stand and you can tell me what you'd like to sing.
Jesus loves me.
Okay. Hold on a second. Jesus loves me.